As we begin Advent, you know, Advent is a penitential season. So if there's any penance that you've been putting off that you think that the Lord's been calling you to do, or maybe something you tried to do in Lent or Advent last year and didn't do, this is the best Advent for you to try and do that penance, because it's actually as short as Advent can ever be. Because Christmas falls on a Monday this year, so there's no fourth week of Advent. And we also have the Feast of Immaculate Conception. There's no need to do penance that day. So it's only 17 days of actual penance. So if there's anything you've been thinking, you know, I really need to do this, make sure this Advent is the time. But as we reflect upon the Advent season and preparing ourselves for the Lord, and I think a good way to do that is to look at it through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. And as we think about those two individuals, they're probably very careful to prepare for the birth of their child, of the King of Kings. And there's probably some limited things that they could do in terms of, you know, physically to prepare for him, because they were in poverty. But there's probably a lot of spiritual things that they could do to prepare themselves. You know, but as we think, one thing that they probably did as they came to Bethlehem and to the cave where Christ was going to be born, they probably took the old straw out of the manger. You know, that straw probably had animals eating it. It was probably dirty, might have been drooled on a little bit. They probably would have taken that straw out and put new straw in the manger. And Father Lindell and I were thinking that this is a good theme for us all to reflect upon and to carry through the Advent season. If we want our hearts to be a fitting manger to receive our Lord at Christmas, we need to change out the straw. There's probably some old straw that we need to remove to put in new straw that's fresh and ready for our Lord. And that's what Advent is ultimately about. It's about preparing ourselves to receive the Lord. You know, what do we need to change, or what do we need to focus on in order to prepare ourselves well? You know, the theme in our gospel is pretty blunt. It's watch. We don't know when the Lord's coming, so we need to be prepared. And that doesn't mean that we can't ever sleep. It's not talking about physically being asleep, but we need to be spiritually awake, and we need to be focused and on our guard spiritually in order to be prepared for the coming of Christ. And one of the ways that it's important for us to do that is to have a meaningful life of prayer. You know, if we don't have a meaningful life of prayer, we're probably not going to be ready and prepared. In Isaiah, in the first reading, he's lamenting. He says, there's none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you. What he's saying is so few people were worshiping God. That's what it means to call upon God's name, is to worship him. So Isaiah was saying there's so few people that are worshiping God. And we can see that in our world today. You know, people are clinging to other things or to other people rather than to Christ. And one of the obstacles that we face in terms of a life of prayer, and this is an obstacle that wasn't around 100 years ago, is modern technology. And when I taught at LaSalle High School, there was a policy that the students weren't allowed to have cell phones with them throughout the school day. You know, they could bring a cell phone to school, but they had to put it in their locker, and they couldn't get it until the end of the day. And so, you know, there was this situation where, as a kid, I caught him with a cell phone during the school day, and being the nice, compassionate priest that I was, I confiscated his phone. And he came at the end of the school day to get his phone back, and his hands were actually shaking, because he couldn't handle the anxiety of being without his cell phone for a couple hours. He literally had an addiction to the phone. And I think with modern technology, that's more common than we might think. You know, if we think about things like people's news feed on their phones, or Facebook notifications, or YouTube videos, or Snapchat, or video games, or television. When these things provide us with a stimulus, our brain actually releases dopamine, which is the same thing that's released when someone takes cocaine. You know, it's a smaller release with technology, but that can easily form an addiction. And what dopamine does is it reinforces whatever the preceding behavior was. And it gives our mind, it gives in our brain a sense of satisfaction. And so whatever we did previously, our brain is going to want that satisfaction again. And so it wants whatever that previous stimulus was. So if it's a like on one of our posts or a notification or something, you know, our minds can become conditioned to want that. And it can actually become an addiction. And one of the things that's dangerous about that in terms of prayer is because prayer is the exact opposite of that. You know, we're not getting a constant external stimulus to entertain us or give us a rush when we turn to pray. You know, prayer requires us actually to separate ourselves from external stimuli so that we can focus on, entering into a life of meditation and a life of prayer. And so technology can really interfere with our ability to pray. You know, and a lot of times, you know, when people turn to prayer, you know, what's running through their mind is the shows that they've just been watching or the video games that they've just been playing or 100 other thoughts, and they really have a hard time entering into a life of prayer. But, you know, prayer requires us to have a level of self-denial. If we want an analogy, you know, think about eating a steak dinner. You know, a steak dinner might be very satisfying, it might taste great, but it's not going to taste very good if you've just had a piece of cake or a bunch of candy right before you went to eat the steak. You know, if you've just had something sweet, you're going to want that sugar. And it ruins our ability to enjoy a steak dinner, which might have a more nuanced flavor. Even though the steak dinner might be a little healthier than sugar. You know, it works in a similar way with prayer. If our minds are on a sugar high with technology and we want a constant stimulus, we're going to struggle to pray in a meaningful way. But prayer is far more valuable and healthy for us because it expands our soul and it expands our desire for union with God and for our ability to hear His voice and to respond to what He's calling us to do. And the delights that we receive in prayer are lasting and they're deep. It gives us a deep sense of peace because it's union with God that our souls are actually made for. And so if we're going for the sugar high, we might be getting an instant rush every time we get on technology, but over time, it's less and less satisfying and it doesn't give us peace. It can actually lead to anxiety and to unhappiness. Whereas prayer, while more difficult to enter into, will give us a lasting and a deep sense of peace and bring us into union with God. And so my challenge for us today as we begin this Advent season is if we don't have a consistent life of prayer, and not just reciting prayers, but mental prayer where we're meditating, if we're not doing that, I encourage us to make a commitment for 5 or 10 minutes a day. Or if we already have a life of prayer, maybe increase that a little bit. But take that time to meditate. You could reflect on the gospel of the day or meditate upon one of the joyful mysteries of the rosary or do some spiritual reading that you find helpful. But my challenge is not just to allocate that time, but to do it with a clear and attentive mind. Not on a sugar high after we've just been playing video games or on social media. And so one way to do that is to pray early in the morning before we have a lot of distractions, or maybe right when we get home from school or from work, you know, before we get on technology. Or if we have been on technology, we might need to intentionally decompress and clear our minds so that when we go to pray, we're not thinking about Facebook or YouTube, but we can actually enter into a meaningful meditation. And to do that before we start the clock. And if we make that commitment, that's a powerful way for us to clear out the old straw that the animals have been drooling on, get that out of there, and put in fresh straw so that we can rouse our hearts to cling to the Lord and to pray with a clear and attentive mind. If we do that, we'll be prepared and watchful when the Lord comes.